A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome to the NXT preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by the Dudley Boys of What Culture, Michael Hamlet and Michael Sidgwick. Look ahead to tonight's episode of NXT. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a round of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on WrestleCulture. As I said, though, joined by Hamlet to look ahead and Sidgwick to look ahead to NXT tonight, the go-home show ahead of TakeOver. It's been a busy old week this, isn't it, Hamlet?
Yeah. Wars are back, obviously, because Rampage is in the mud thanks to that awful episode of NXT last week. Ratings-wise, of course, not quality-wise. It's just Adam Cole and Kyle O'Reilly. People want to watch it. I can't fathom why, but they do. So naturally, as we head towards what will presumably be their last showdown, perhaps ever, if Adam Cole leaves the company, there's not even anything advertised between them. The go-home show has got to cover off everything else on this TakeOver card because it all feels cold. Me and Sidgwick, neither of us were particularly kind to Cole O'Reilly last week, but it goes down well. So I'd be very surprised if they didn't end up just ending things with a video package for those two, because nothing else on this card I can see drawing any significant interest. And like, it's not like the worst TakeOver ever, but I just don't think, I think it's almost too reflective of what this version of NXT is now. It doesn't feel like a big special card. It doesn't feel like the old days where you'd wanted the TakeOver to go after the WWE pay-per-view because one couldn't follow the other. Quite the opposite now. Everybody will have already left town and NXT will still be happening to the attention of its smallest ever audience.
I didn't watch all of NXT last week because I didn't have to. But what I got from that face-to-face was, and no offence to Kyle O'Reilly, but I was like, oh, you really don't want to lose Adam Cole. He comes across as far better than the other person in this rivalry. Is that fair, Sidge?
I would say so. And I think that these seemingly unfathomable ratings are directly correlated to what a superstar Adam Cole is. And how impressive is it that he comes off as a superstar under the drab confines of the CWC, which were always dank and miserable and awful? That has become far more pronounced upon other wrestling's return to crowds. Adam Cole's the absolute boy. World-class verbal performance last week. Individual. I don't think the segment on the whole landed. Kyle O'Reilly really struggled to not get blown out of the water by his mate, if I'm being perfectly honest. Yeah, the worst thing is they've done that build. They are now going to do the cross-jewel version of that, which will get nowhere near as much interest. I'm expecting some kind of cool O'Reilly prime target, and it'll be one of those things that people will think is great. And it's like, well, they're putting lipstick on a pig. If that's what you consider great, but not me. The worst thing about the show is that there's two matches that have got a ceiling of fantastic. NXT just seems to make everything feel drab and dulls the spark of otherwise really great matches. And there is only so much to talk about in the discourse, and no one's talking about this at all. I got some likes out of burying it last week, though, which is rare, but welcome.
It was hideously booked last week, though. Like we've said this about NXT, generally when the TakeOver cards come together, you sort of look at the main ones at least and think, well, they have actually done some steady, if unremarkable, storytelling to get to this point. last week's episode is one of the worst booked I can remember since like the dreaded empty Full Sail days of last summer. It felt like they got nearly everything wrong in terms of finishes, in terms of even in the case of some of the matches impromptu as they arranged. This week feels like a much stronger episode, and it's going to give the, again, like it's all an impression of a wrestling company rather than a wrestling company. It's going to give the impression of a show where things are happening. But I think we all know that's not the case now.
Yeah, I was saying to Sid before we started recording here, it's in this weird sort of limbo where there potentially might be a new look CWC. Talk about lipstick on a pig there tonight. But it's all a bit up in the air because you sense more sweeping changes once they've got this program and takeover out of the way. So like you say, with people potentially leaving or being released, or who, Lord knows what they're going to do with NXT next. But, you know, word, talk of sweeping changes has been around for the last couple of weeks, and it'll be very intriguing to see how they potentially wrap up this chapter. But like you say, Sige, two really great championship matches to look forward to tonight. Let's start with Kushida versus Roderick Strong for the Cruiserweight Championship. Feels like there has to be a title switch there.
Does it? Because they're not behind Diamond Mine.
Yeah.
They're not behind Dynamo. Diamond Mine has got no core purpose at this point other than, oh, let's do something with Roderick Strong. The dynamic of the group was we have a mouthpiece to promote the fights, this gang of fighters in Malcolm Bivens. You have the star act, the clutch player, the MVP, Roderick Strong. You have the coach and the prospect. Well, the prospect's gone, so who's the coach coaching? You could very easily transition him to a more traditional heater role, but the Diamond Mind, as first imagined, as built pretty heavily on, or teased pretty heavily on NXT, no longer exists as it does. Our understanding of the backstage machinations of NXT, like that in itself, undermines the Diamond Mine. Like, they don't really see them as a great act that can do proper top of the card stuff worth investing in, because the prospect has no prospects because he's not there anymore. They could do a title switch. They've done now with Kushida. And we talk at length on these podcasts about, right, they should actually try to tell storylines about or surrounding talents that don't speak English very fluently as their native language. We saw what happened when they finally addressed that criticism with Zoe Stark and Io Shirai in a problematic restaurant skit. So they're better off just doing nothing with Kushida, in my opinion. I see a switch incoming. There's no cruiserweight division left. There's like four people on that 205 live roster page. How am I meant to preview this match and the permutations and ramifications of it when the key challenging act is no longer a big deal or a concern? When there are no real cruiserweights in a division of which to speak because so many of them have been released. When those that could theoretically slot into the cruiserweight division are doing heavyweight matches in the breakout tournament. And this match will be very technically well worked, but given Roderick Strong's new gimmick persona, if you like, they're going to spend a lot of time lying down. A lot of bloody time lying down. My worry is that's one of those things that we watch it a little bit bored at how intricate the groundwork is. The sort of thing that has literally in the past caused Vince McMahon to throw off his headset in a rage in 1995, except at least one of those was a large, large, large man. Kushida or Noel Roderick Strong or that. It'll be a 3 3/4 star match. I don't really care who wins. I don't care who wins a lot of these matches, which has been a significant issue with NXT for the longest time.
It's funny that the Diamond Mine and the Battery happened at the same time, and we were just saying, yeah, we like getting gabbled. And then Vince McMahon walked in and said, all the kids in NXT are SLBs. And he,
Lee's not even in round anymore.
Tyler Rust.
How long are we going to spend on that?
He pulled Tegan Knox off the show after one night. I was going to make the point about the Cruiserweight division and the Cruiserweight title and 205 Live, and that's not even direct changes to NXT, but it affects this. The TNA Heavyweight Championship that Christian currently holds as part of owning the Impact title has about the same amount of value as Kushida's 205 Live title, because at least Kenny Omega cared about it. Like, it also didn't represent a particular wrestling company anymore, but at least Kenny Omega seemed to want to hold on to it. Kushida hasn't been, you know, like a feature on television outside of have a match to build a feud, have another match to build a feud, you know, and now there's no roster of people for him to fight against. So there's no sense of character development particularly. If there was any development to be found here at all, it was with Diamond Mine, but that was hugely undermined by Tyler Rust's release, massively so, because it was another reminder, as was with the case with Ever-Rise, now 2.0, that they're not necessarily making these releases based on who they're watching on screen. They're just seeing cells on Nick Khan's spreadsheet and deciding which ones to delete. When the decisions are being made at that top level, then it drastically undercuts how much you can really invest in stuff at the bottom level. And NXT, unfortunately, now is that one, maybe slightly above NXT UK, if you've even got a tab for that. I don't even know if they've got a spreadsheet, to be honest. I think it's just a typewriter in that factory in Enfield. But I think at this point, with NXT as the clear bottom rung, never been sort of less prioritised in its history, at least in this era, it's a match like this that's going to struggle. Genuinely. And I don't say that with any particular schadenfreude or joy or anything like that. Really love Kushida and Roderick Strong. Want better for them, want them both to be on an entertaining show and entertaining stories, because I think, yes, this match, especially more so than the tag match, this match will really suffer, I think, for all of that.
They'll hit each other really, really, really hard, I expect and hope.
Title change for you, Hamflet?
Yeah, probably. To what end now? I don't know, but you should probably at least pay all of that off. If he doesn't win a title tonight, split him up.
Yeah, exactly. Might as well. I just hope Tyler Rust, I'm not sure if I mentioned this before, can get some stunt double work, because he looks, if you look really closely, he looks a bit like Jack Simon Pegg with long hair. I'm not sure if I've mentioned that before.
God damn it.
MSK versus Imperium, Michael Hamflet.
Had to get that last one in. Friday release, and you're like, hang on, I'm going to be on holiday for the next NXT. I'm going to have to do something about that.
MSK versus Imperium. Please, God, let there be a title retention in this one, Hamflet.
Yeah, no fear of a title change here, I don't think. Who knows with this one? None of us are particularly big fans of Imperium. And I think typically what happens is when they're the more, I don't want to say over, but more protected of the teams they're in the ring with, like both teams have to kowtow to their style. I'm hoping that's not the case here. MSK have been the project for the longest time. Yes, there's going to be a heat segment. Yes, that's probably going to be really boring. But maybe, just maybe, that'll inform that lightning rod of a final 5 minutes and Imperium can level up to that. Imperium have had good matches in the past. It's just they're guilty of a lot of dull ones too. I think MSK are too exciting across the 10 to 12 minutes that I expect this to get. I just think through force of will, they'll make this fun. Promos have been a little bit cheesy. But yeah, these acts are chalk and cheese, aren't they? That's sort of the point of this. Imperium will try to slow it down, and MSK will constantly try and burst out with something to bring the excitement levels back. It might work, this, genuinely. I'm not going to be as cynical as I usually would about an Imperium match, or as worried as I might be about an Imperium title shot, because they might play quite well off each other here.
Yeah, I fully expect something really quite good here. The bad news is it's an Imperium match. The good news is it's the perfect opponents for Imperium for the reasons that Hamflet has just pointed out. What you want out of a match like this is for Imperium to do something interesting with their heat sequence. They're not over, they're not relevant, they're not interesting. This will be an uphill battle. But if they can do it well enough, the idea is that when MSK do MSK things, it will resonate all the more, because if they've been trapped or contorted or locked into submissions are smashed up, then when they finally break through and make the comeback, this match is all about the comeback. The issue affecting it is that will it just feel like an obligatory structural thing that has to happen, or will it genuinely feel like they are overcoming like this really formidable unit in Imperium? But again, as I've said, Imperium aren't that over. This CWC crowd either don't react or aren't given enough cause to react. I'm expecting something really quite drab and silent, And it's kind of up to MSK at this point to really spike that excitement. Who knows? Maybe the much promised LED screens will make it feel less drab. And maybe the key to the chronic issues suffering NXT right now are the fact that it looks like it's in a Gateshead social club.
I really, really like the one in Wrecking, by the way. That was always my favourite in the old social club years. Love the idea of the whole, like, respect the canvas, respect the mat act, having, like, rely on LED boards. The traditions of the responsible.
Business! It's business! I haven't put that one of them in a while.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Now, you two very capably yesterday previewed Raw, which featured a face-to-face between champion and challenger. And that's exactly what we've got again tonight on NXT with Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe. Sitch, how do you see this one going down, aside from lots of security probably getting hoid all over the place?
Well, this is the thing. They did the security detail for Cole O'Reilly last week, and this is the match that's finally putting an end to the chaos. Remember that thread? That was pretty rubbish and contrived. And so they're going to have to do the exact same thing. They're going to have to block this segment the exact same thing. Otherwise, it's a plot hole, which is funny. Look, Samoa Joe's a great promo. He's always good for quite a memorable soundbite. Karrion Kross, where's Scarlett Bordeaux? The whole crack was, oh, Vince McMahon's going to love her pair of whammers. That's why she's not... That's why she's nowhere near Karrion Kross in this main roster. Well, she's nowhere near now at the minute. So that's just something that's popped into my head. Karrion Kross is going to say some intense stuff. Samoa Joe is going to say some cool stuff. And I guess ultimately that's all that matters, because people largely want Samoa Joe to win. And this, I expect, for reasons good and bad, will further that feeling. If in fact the word feeling can be applied to anything that NXT does in 2021.
I think in the effort to try and think of something that might actually be different about this face-to-face to all the other nearly confrontations they've had and all the other face-to-faces WWE have been booking lately, maybe an errant swing of a fist from Samoa Joe will hit William Regal.
Ooh.
Right, you've gone too bloody far, Samoa. And like having this begun with him, Karrion Kross intentionally battering William Regal and Joe kind of fighting for him. Maybe William Regal's been dragged into the physicality of it on the other side as well, because they just cannot be separated.
And he can chin William Regal and then look at his hands like, oh, what have I done?
Perfect.
Great NXT booking that. Yeah. I mean, like you say, it needs to go one way on Sunday, and we'll obviously be previewing that going forward.
But oh, Christ, do we?
Right, you don't have to do that. We'll just have to review it the next day, because
that'd be funny. Awesome. Like, I'm going to bury Cole O'Reilly for how long it's going to go. So Hamlet won't do that.
I go on holiday after Friday, And I think I'm going to have deserved it because I'm going to sit down with Wilbon and he's going to be like, right, tonight, SmackDown, go home for SummerSlam, NXT TakeOver preview. And then he's going to turn to you, Cedric, in the Rampage preview. And right, right, what do we think is going to happen on tonight's Rampage? Anything? That's a story in a decade or what? Nothing, I don't know. What do you think? What do you think? Hottest hour of the year? Don't know. What, Hamlet, SummerSlam, go home? Will John Cena and Roman Reigns talk to each other for half an hour? The meeting.
Just covering off some of the other, you know, matches that we could take over. What's your thoughts on what's going on with Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai? Because obviously I just tuned in and went, oh, they just fed Saray to Dakota Kai last week and then Raquel Gonzalez chased her off.
You haven't been keeping up with it to that extent. Wilbon, I know that you've got a stockpile of pro wrestling that you need to go back and watch in depth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to spoil last week's main event for you?
Go on.
The TV show main event.
Oh, I knew this. We already knew this, I think, before I went away. Was that when she got fed to Aaliyah?
Yeah. They also went 50-50 in a dark match on SmackDown. Like, what are you meant to think? If you're Johnny WWE, and if you are, I'm sorry.
Congratulations, because you and Candice LeRae are having a baby.
I was about to say.
If you're Danny WWE, right, and you watch all of it, and you think, I love this. I'm Michael Hamlet a year ago. But if you're Danny WWE and you're watching all the shows and you love all the shows and you're thinking, hang on, Aaliyah, sporadically booked geek Aaliyah, is beating the number one contender to the NXT title, right? You're thinking, all right, this is rubbish.
Actually, I'm thinking Robert Stonebrand should have held on to her. That's what I'm thinking for a bigger, longer term.
I'm thinking now, that's the problem. I'm thinking nothing about this match.
You'll have a great video package on Sunday. That's the thing, isn't it? Because there is a great story to tell there. They just haven't told it.
I'm thinking karma's a bitch, baby, because NXT, in a bit to siphon away AEW's audience and get it cancelled off TNT, decided, let's get the dicks out and slap them on this table and do loads of reactionary bollocks moves to try and just stymie this AEW Dynamite. When they finally decide to do some LTSD, they spend months on the bastards and they all go up in smoke when Vince McMahon decides to whip it out on the table and is as bigger and always will be. They've spent months doing Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai teasers, friction, little passive-aggressive negging words here and there. You've dropped to a layer. I feel sorry for Dakota Kai and Raquel Gonzalez to be less of a snarky arsehole about it because they genuinely probably have really enjoyed backstage, like mapping out this storyline and just saying, like, can we get away with this, these little details, do you think? They've invested loads of time in what's it all worth? It's not a credible challenger. It's not really a credible champion who's owned the role, if I'm being brutal.
It's not a hot match.
It's not a hot match, is it? They've made it not hot.
At the start of this year, it felt like at some point whenever this took place, it would probably be the hottest match NXT had. It's like a long, long way short of that.
That's like saying this is the hottest match that main events go.
In an intriguing twist as well, it's now going to be LA Knight versus Cary Grant to the moon at TakeOver. But if Grimes loses, Ted DiBiase must become LA Knight's butler, Hamlet.
Yeah. I don't know what I want from this, because Ted DiBiase is not fantastic in any role on screen. So I don't particularly need to see LA Knight abusing him. There's a way for them for this just to end well, isn't there? There's a way for Cameron Grimes to save the day, liberate the belt, get that back off screen again, because they've kind of like squeezed all the juice out of that fruit and just be done with this. I got everything on this show, and certainly everything from last week's show, I feel like I want to be the kindest to that. Their matches have outperformed expectations. The angle hasn't spiraled horribly or gone off the rails, and you sense they're headed towards like a nice conclusion to it. There's not a lot to add to that, but there's not a lot to criticize about it either.
Yeah, I'm the same. I've enjoyed the skits in the moment. They've been quite well crafted and reasonably funny in that WWE way. But it just comes to something that about NXT in general is that I've watched Ted DiBiase on Silver Vision Coliseum video and I've fallen in love with the man as one of the greatest heels in the 1980s. And then I've watched in the years since as he's been paraded out on various Raw nostalgia shows alongside classic pals like Colin Delaney and Melina. And I've watched him every single bloody nostalgia
show.
And I've watched him just go, hey, there's the guy who used to laugh. No, that's the guy who used to do like horrible things, to craft horrible punchlines and then laugh at his own beautiful malevolence. But now, because they're all just these weirdly haunted figures in the corridors reduced to their catchphrases, I've watched 10 years worth of Ted DiBiase Legends Night cameos. Or there or thereabouts, where it's just, hey, there's Ted DiBiase. And even he doesn't laugh in NXT anymore. He's this incredibly earnest guy. He's a millionaire babyface, an oxymoron, and he wants Cameron Grimes to believe in himself. And he doesn't even laugh at this or find joy in this. Like, I've enjoyed it, but just get to the point.
I just hope Hangman Page is taking notes on this redemption arc. Let's talk about Timothy Thatcher versus Ridge Holland, Sidge. They're going to batter crap out of each other, aren't they? It should be a good laugh.
Yeah, it should be a good laugh. This should be fun. This should be hard hitting. I'm looking at Timothy Thatcher, and I'm desperate for him to do a different version of the disbelief phase. I don't want him to go, oh my God, my world is crashing around me. Everything I understood of the material world is vanishing before my mind because someone kicked out of my signature. That never puts anybody away. This face is still prevalent on NXT. I still hate this face. Timothy Thatcher is better than sports entertainment right now. I want him to do this like, I can't believe you're doing that, but God damn, I'm going to try again because I'm disgusted that you weren't going to stay down. I want him to just punch, punch, chop, chop, kick, kick, Ridge Holland right in the bloody face. And I want him to look like furious, not like despondent. I want him to look incredulous and furious that this man didn't have the temerity to get stricken by Thatcher. And I want him to hit him harder as a result. Don't go too long. Do not expose Ridge Holland. Play it to your performer's strengths. This one might keep Triple H in a bloody job. If they can build a star in Ridge Holland, he's exactly McMahon's type. So don't do any tropes. Don't overexpose him in a long match that goes long for the sake of it. Looking at the other matches that can go long on this show, I don't think it will at all. I'm expecting this to be the beautifully brief highlight of the night.
Yeah, and give us a finish as well.
Well, you're not getting that.
I want a Ridge Holland win here. I thought he was, like, that squash the other week was really impressive. I know he's massive and he looks great, but that doesn't guarantee an awesome squash. It still needs a certain energy and a certain snap. And Holland has it. Yeah. And I want Thatcher to obviously try and come in tonight and fail. And I'd like to see Holland win. It's match to build match stuff because Thatcher and Ciampa have made it clear that they want this whatever version of Kings of NXT, I guess. Does it include Pete Dunne or not? Because last week he was the top babyface beating the number one contender to Walter's title. So who can say if Pete Dunne's associated with Ridge Holland and the eventual return in Danny Burch and Oney Lorcan. But it seems like Thatcher and Ciampa are programmed with them. Earnestly, on last week's review, which I'm sure you did listen to on your holidays, Wilbon, but just in case you've forgotten what we said, myself and Sidgwick did put over NXT's quite a success with their tag team division this year. Number of moving parts, number of different stories, interesting match combinations. And I'm bang game for Thatcher and Ciampa versus a combination of, well, the McAfee group without McAfee, I guess, whichever version of that remains. And this is probably there to set that up, isn't it?
We're also getting Vink tonight. He's back. He's back in NXT, lads, and that's why they're going to win the ratings war at the end of the day, because it's Duke Hudson competing against Carmelo Hayes in the other semi-final of the NXT Breakout Tournament to face the fantastic Odyssey Jones in the final. Who do you see going through here? Because it's interesting, because Carmelo Hayes has been sensational whenever we've seen him, but Vink's big, Hamlet.
He is. And not only is he big, But that would mean there would be two giant men in the final of a breakout tournament. And if you're going to break out of this new version of NXT, you better be fucking massive. So I think Duke Hudson's winning tonight. And then we're getting this strange hoss fight that Triple H wouldn't have dare promote in the last, what, 6-7 years? And now absolutely has to, because he's been put in his place by others. Better chess players currently within WWE's hierarchy. That's funny to me. But then I've made this comment every week, as long as this tournament's been on, which I don't think has been the worst tournament, but I say it until I'm blue in the face. What is there to break out of in NXT other than Triple H's emotional prison? And how do you do that? By being a Vince McMahon giant. So Duke Hudson's winning by getting big lads slapping into each other. But the final of what was once like the Indie Wank Fest tournament is now, whoa, big boy. Like Brock Lesnar looking at Keith Lee in the Royal Rumble. That's Vince McMahon watching the breakout final.
Shoot, bloody Adson. It's going to go over. You are going to get the big lads final. Like, I think it's been quite capably booked, if I'm being honest. And by capably, I very much mean every single inflection of that faint praise. It's not been brilliant. No one talked about it on my timeline, or I suspect many others. It's not relevant. It's not classic action. It is, however, a premonition of the future, as Hamlet astutely points out. And, you know, charting the two massive bastards on one collision course in the final is good. It establishes parity, drama, unpredictability. It's all very, very solid booking. Reminds me of one of my favorite fantasy booking pitches when WWE used to really adhere to their split rosters. The night after WrestleMania, you debut two properly good / potentially great characters. One's a heel, one's a face. You get them both undefeated throughout the remainder of the calendar year. One of them eliminates the other from the Royal Rumble, tarnishing the record. The heel eliminates the baby face, the nefarious means. And you put two stars in a massive match at WrestleMania the next year. This is a really boring version of that.
Which one of those? Is it the heel or baby face? Is Bronson Reed that then gets sacked for no good reason?
The baby face, because he's nice.
Because he's the nicer of the two. Whichever one's got, I don't know, more kids and bills or something.
Whichever one needs to get one of those really, really finicky visas that you've got to sort out. Jesus Christ, this show.
Finally, we have the next installment in the Index love story to look forward to, Sige. Eventful first date on last week's show. How do they follow it up this week?
Go on, put yourself over. I did it last week, but you should do it.
I mean, I don't know whether it's really putting myself over, or you can think the way that WWE does. Congratulations and commiserations at the same time. But I did literally say, send it to a restaurant, have the other two, I've got the Garganos hiding behind a giant menu and trying to spy on them. And yeah, that's exactly what happened. Apart from I didn't book Gargano wearing a comedy mustache. I'm then going, it's a me, Johnny, or whatever it was.
Gargano.
Well, the problem now is that you don't know, will they, won't they? It fails to move the needle at all. I mildly enjoyed it week to week in my capacity as someone who has to watch it. But functionally speaking, they're knackered now. You've got one more bit of juice, and it's the wedding. So you could do some proposal stuff. You could have Dexter Lumis silently try to propose. This is scuppered by The Way. Oh, God, they've already done Gargano. Dare Lumis, I don't want to see it again. You can't do anything with Candice because congratulations to her, she's pregnant. I don't know what you do. There is literally one dramatic wrinkle left in terms of the wedding and cold feet. It's together now and no one cares. Do you break them up? What do you do next, Amphlett? Help me out here.
You might be onto something with a wedding, because there is...
It's a Ravens popper.
The idea of a wedding and a big lads match on next week's NXT, right, as like Vince takes the wheel, is brilliant.
It might, in fact, redeem NXT. What I mean by that is take it back to redemption when it was good.
Again, why fire Fandango? The man's show is right there. Mm. I don't know. I'm the same. We've touched on this before. I don't think there's any real desire for Dexter Lumis and Johnny Gargano. or much desire for anything Austin Theory, Candice LeRae, and Indy Hartwell now can't be a thing. So they are sort of a little bit stuck. We've had 2 weeks in a row of different restaurant-related skits. Maybe that's what we should have been trying to think about, who gets the restaurant treatment this week. Maybe that's Colin O'Reilly. Maybe they'll, like, have a sit-down dinner together like Shane McMahon and Kane did that time before their big match. It's like, you know, like, dignified men tonight. And Adam Cole's going to be like, hey, lads, shall we break into song? I've heard that. We don't talk about that, Adam.
I'm scared to book it now because of having that weird premonition last week. I don't know whether they're going to utilize the pregnancy IRL of Candice LeRae. Congratulations to her and Johnny Gargano, by the way. It's fantastic news just to read about today, catching up on all of events of last week. And I've got a weird feeling that they're going to do a thing where Indy Hartwell's going to walk out with a pregnancy stick and Dexter Lumis's eyes is going to pop out of his head like, how's this? It's Candice's. You just found it in the bathroom or some bollocks. Or the other thing I was thinking of is the other thing, obviously, we're doing is Austin Theory coming back. So Johnny convinces Austin to come back because she said, can you stop spying on our dates? You too. So he sends Austin Theory in his place. And all I can think of off the top of my head is they're going to go to the cinema to watch a scary film. And Austin Theory is going to be spying on them. But it's dark, and Indy Hartwell comes back from the toilet and gets off with Austin Theory, which is like a brother, effectively, in this scenario, because she forgets where she's sitting or some bollocks. I don't know. Who cares?
This show's dead.
She gets off with her brother.
Even that wouldn't make this interesting.
Oh, great.
And then you got the wedding next week, like you say. But we'll...
Pete Dunne's on Twitter with the gift saying, not the way.
And you sit down and you kiss Randy Orton's potential replacement, who's also your brother.
Triple H playing it all in reference to Vince. Is this cool? Is he cool? Is she cool? Is that cool?
And Vince is like, nah.
Is this over? Is this over? Are they over?
Smashes Sean through the barbershop window. Psh, is he cool? Am I cool, Vince? Dad? Am I cool?
NXT is bad and wrong.
Well, anyway, enjoy NXT tonight. Let us know your thoughts ahead of the show on Twitter at WhatCultureWWE. You can follow all three of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow Michael Sidgwick at
M Sidgwick.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts. Our Raw review is available right now. And of course, our NXT review will be there tomorrow. So if you subscribe, it'll be in your feed as soon as it is released. But this has been the NXT preview. My thanks to the Dudley Boys. Thank you for joining us. And we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.